Chapter 5. The Investigation. The next morning Marty and Wendy met on a dirt road just off Highway 7. From there they rode in the researcher's Polaris Ranger into the hills, following an overgrown trail. For a time, they made small talk about the terrain they navigated and spoke of comparisons between various ATV and UTV off-road vehicles. They discovered something of a shared passion. As the ride continued, the wind from their passage funneled between the half windshield and roof, causing hot air from the engine beneath the seats to rotate inside of the vehicle. It was buffer against the cool morning air. They both wore helmets, as their trail caused them to swing back and forth across the forestry road. But fully enclosed, as they were, the ATV helmets called for raised voices in order to carry on a conversation. "Do you always drive so slowly?" Wendy asked, turning her helmeted head towards Marty. "This is already the long way around." Marty gave her a mock frown. "I would rather drive slowly and catch some sign rather than blast my way through the countryside and retain nothing of what I've seen. Aside from that, I'm kind of stoked to investigate an encounter from Ruby Creek. This place has quite a history for sightings, going back decades and decades. A lot of people think that these occurrences are cyclical, that these creatures have regular routes that take them years to complete, so they show up in the same place every 20 years or so. Now, if that is true, then it means that this creature and others might be the same ones that have been sighted around here over and over again. So, I am looking for prints in the softer stretches of trail as well as broken bushes and other things." Wendy laughed. "You really like to hear the sound of your own voice, don't you?" "Sorry, I guess that I am a little passionate when it comes to this subject," Marty admitted. "Well look," Wendy continued, "you do know that the vast number of old reported sightings were done by indigenous people, right? Not all of them, but a number of them," conceded Marty. "Well then, has it ever occurred to you that we were just pulling your leg?" Marty could almost detect her grinning face beneath her helmet. "As a matter of fact, yes. But then, why would you lie about such a thing?" he asked. "Worth its weight in tourism PR," Wendy confessed. "We don't have the little bighorn with all of the citizenry combing the prairie with metal detectors looking for bullet casings, ornaments, arrowheads and guns. We just got totem poles and the big hairy guy." Reaching into a fanny pack, she withdrew a joint and lit up. "Could we go a little faster? I'd like to get to Kathy's while it is still morning." Taking a toke, she handed the joint to Marty. He brought the machine to a stop and switched into high gear. Taking the offered joint, he drew in a deep breath. Then, with a shot of gas, the Polaris lurched forward, eating the service road at a faster rate. "Hey, listen," he said. "I am grateful to you for arranging this meeting and having it take place at the location of the encounter."
"No problem," she shrugged.
"Cousin Kevin told me about you. He made sure that I understood you weren't some kind of crackpot, looking for nests and tree breaks, or flying saucers and weird lights. Kathy is a close friend, and I want not have her exposed to that kind of tinfoil hat stuff." "Hey," said Marty, "if you are saying that this thing is worldly in nature, then I agree with you."
"Good,"
confirmed Wendy as she reached up to clear a heavy branch over the roof of the UTV, allowing them to pass under the obstruction. "And if it is worldly in nature," continued Marty, "then it is of this world, subject to all of the laws of nature, just like a bear or a moose." "That is true to a degree," said Wendy as she took another toke. "But, as there is this world, so too is there a spirit world. The rocks and trees, the very elements are spirits, and in every living thing here, the spirit world is made manifest. In all creatures the connection is there, and that is a connection which allows a bridge between numerous levels of existence." Marty navigated around a sharp turn, turning his will hard. "You're not going to go all paranormal on me, are you?" Wendy put a foot on the dash and held the half-smoked joint between her fingers. "What is paranormal? Don't you know that everything is normal unless we prove it otherwise? So in that case," said Marty, "are you admitting that Sasquatch is normal?"
"He is if I say he is,"
answered Wendy, carefully putting out the joint and then returned its remains to her pouch. "You try proving that I am wrong." Marty slowed down the machine and looked over at his passenger. "You're not going to use the appeal to ignorance argument on me, are you?"
"Who me?"
laughed Wendy. "You're the researcher here. I'm just a chicky poo from the res, helping out a friend." Breaking out onto an open strip of land where metal hydro towers gleamed in the sun, Wendy directed him to a side trail which took then to a grassy lowland. Here the trail became mere ruts in the tall grass, leading to a red gate. Wendy jumped from the seat of the Ranger and flipped the latch on the gate, allowing the gate to swing open on its swivel. After waving Marty through, she closed the gate and firmly latched it. Then she returned to her seat and they continued their trek through the long grass.
Silence had descended upon the two, and Marty wondered at the cause of it. Was something he said? Wendy gave no hint that such was the case, but she remained silent. Following a gentle rise in the land, they soon topped a ridge from which they could see a cabin below. "Looks like Kate has company," Wendy observed. There were two vehicles parked alongside the cabin in the valley below. One was a pickup and the other was a black Tahoe, with which Marty was familiar. "That's not company," he muttered, as they continued their descent to the valley floor. Parking the Polaris by the front steps, the pair walked around the cabin to a sun deck. There, they found a couple lounging in a pair of Adirondack chairs. A blonde woman in her late 40s rose from her seat. Dressed in jean shorts, wearing a tube top under a white shirt with rolled-up sleeves, she hurried over to Wendy and the two hugged each other. "I'm so glad that you were able to get away from the band office," she smiled at the younger woman. "It was no problem," Wendy assured her. "By the way, this is Marty." Kate extended a hand which was as darkly tanned as the rest of her. "It is nice to meet you, but excuse my manners." She turned to the man who was now standing before his chair, a shorter, silver-haired individual, wearing a safari hat and camouflage vest with khaki pants, smiled and stepped forward. "Wendy, this is a colleague of Marty's, a mister, just call me Kipper." He smiled from behind a walrus mustache, as he shook Wendy's hand. Turning to Marty, he continued with a wink. "Marty, about time you got here. Myself and Kate were holding down the fort awaiting your imminent arrival. I was just filling her in on doing interviews and investigations."
"Kipper,"
Marty interjected, "could you give me a hand to get something out of the UTV? Kipper smiled and gestured towards the steps.
"May we?"
"Mon Capitan." Marty waited until they were at the front of the cabin before he spoke.
"Kipper,
what the heck are you doing here?"
"Just following up on a lead," smiled Kipper.
"Look, I only heard about this yesterday." Marty stopped by the Polaris tailgate.
"How did you find out about it?"
"Listen, mate. I heard about it last night in the restaurant at the Burns Inn. I gave my card to a cute little waitress by the name of Tabby and she asked me if I was here, with you, to investigate the encounter that her boss had a few nights ago. So, I asked a few questions about the area and hit the road this morning. Eventually, I found the right turnoff on Highway 7, which led me straight to this lovely lady."
"Did you get a load of those fabulous tanned legs?"
"Wowza, this is going to be fun." Marty poked Kipper in the chest.
"Listen, I was asked to come in on this investigation, so I'm going to complete it. You can hang out if you want, but this is my file in the end."
Kipper held up both hands with his palms facing outward.
"Got it.
This is your file. I'll just hang about to assist, in whatever way I can. So let's go talk to the lady with the great legs." Marty rolled his eyes, then took a leather case from the storage compartment of the Polaris.
"Behave yourself, Kipper."
When they got back to the sun deck, they found Wendy and Kate standing in a corner talking.
"So, are we going to do this?" asked Wendy.
Marty shrugged. "Only if Kate is ready." Kate walked towards the kitchen doorway.
"I am ready.
Let's get on with it, before I chicken out." Marty and Kate sat at the kitchen table. After getting Kate's permission, he set up his recorder between them. At this point, Wendy suggested that she show Kipper what may have been a track under the bedroom window which she had found, and to take a look around the property in general. Kipper was hesitant, but Marty assured him that he could listen to the full taped interview later.
"Kate,"
Marty said with a smile, "I'm going to ask you some questions. Answer them as best you can. After that we can go through the incident. After that you can retell it in your own words." Kate nodded her head, not looking quite as confident as she had been earlier.
"Okay,"
said Marty. "Let's begin."
"Question:
would you state your full name?"
"Answer:
Catherine Burns."
"Question:
what is your present mailing address?"
"Answer:
P.O. Box 342, Harrison Hot Springs."
"Question:
what is your phone number?"
"Answer:
answer withheld from report."
"Question:
do you wish to remain anonymous?"
"Answer:
no,
I don't think so." "Well, I already told you my name,
didn't I?"
"Question: how old are you?"
"Answer:
I am in my 40s.
"Question:
do you wear corrective lenses?"
"Answer:
I wear contacts."
"Question:
were you wearing at the time this happened?"
"Answer: no.
Yes.
Question:
were you consuming any medication or alcohol at the time?"
"Answer:
yes.
But just a couple of glasses of wine, during the night."
"Question:
at what time did this occur?"
"Answer:
between 10:30 and 11 o'clock at night."
"Question:
do you remember the exact date?"
"A.
It was last Thursday night, so that was July 17th.
"Question:
before we go any further, just tell me what happened."
"Answer:
I was on the back porch of my cabin having a glass of wine. I remember that there was a sudden breeze and there was a smell. It was very significant. It wasn't a bear smell. It was a pungent smell that was coming out of the woods. It was quite cooler then. So I went inside and closed up the cabin and got ready for bed.
Question. Up until this point you had not heard or seen anything unusual?
Answer. No.
Q. So what happened next?
Answer. I got undressed and got into bed. I had trouble going to sleep because there was bright moonlight coming in through the bedroom window. It lit up the entire room. Eventually though, I did nod off.
Question. So, you were asleep?
Yes. I remember having these weird dreams.
Question.
So you have no problem being alone here at the cabin overnight? Are you retired or do you have an occupation now?
Answer.
I am the owner/operator of the Burns Inn in Agassi. And to answer your other question, I have spent many nights here by myself. It is quite safe.
Question.
Where exactly did this incident occur?
Answer.
Here at Ruby Creek in my cabin. In my bedroom, that is.
Question.
Is this a recreation cabin? And your actual residence is elsewhere?
Answer.
I live on Rockwell Drive, Harrison Hot Springs, McClure. Note. At this point in the interview there was some back and forth between the witness and myself concerning the place in which she lived. I have withheld from the written report here for confidentiality reasons requested by the witness.
Question.
So you claim that something woke you from a sound sleep?
Answer.
Yes. My dreams were quite bizarre. And there was a swishing noise which dominated everything.
Question.
What was it that woke you?
Sir.
There was a loud banging which hit the side of the cabin. That is what woke me up.
Question.
You are sure that this noise woke you up, and it was not a part of your dreams?
Answer. No.
I was quite awake after that. That was when I saw this shadow cover the window, blocking out the moonlight. At this point I jumped out of my bed and ran to the bedroom door. That is when this horrible scream came in through the window.
Question.
Could you describe the vocalization?
Answer.
Loud.
Very loud.
Like a noise made by something with massive lungs. I could feel it shake my bones and vibrate in my body cavities,
my lungs, my stomach,
even my bladder. I even remember the feel of hot urine running down my legs as I sat on the bedroom floor. I couldn't help myself. At this point Kate placed a shaking hand across her mouth. I didn't mean to tell you that. It was not my proudest moment.
Question. That is all right, Kate.
All of this is strictly confidential, so you were saying that this entity walked away.
You could hear it?
Answer. Yes. It was like someone dropping bags of cement on the ground. And there was a peculiar sound. Sort of like a language being spoken. But I could not understand what was being said.
Question. What happened next?
Answer. I ran down the hall and got my husband's shotgun from the closet. And from there I went to the kitchen. After I calmed down I contacted Wendy. She arrived just before daylight. I had spent the night at the kitchen table. When she arrived, I took a shower and cleaned up the bedroom floor.
McClure. Note.
At this time I decided to take a break in order for the witness to compose herself. And to then come back with some questions that would establish her degree of confidence and comfort in being out here in the backcountry.
End of note.
Leaving the kitchen, Marty strode out onto the deck where he found Wendy, sitting by herself in a chair.
Where's Kipper?
He is checking out the perimeter. She replied, gesturing at the steep hillside. Are you guys finished?
She asked.
No. I'm just giving her some time to compose herself before we wrap it up. He replied, and watched her change position, allowing her legs to flop over the wide armrest.
So,
she said, as she stretching her arms. What do you think? Marty sat in the other chair and looked out at the orchard for a moment. I think that she had a bad scare, for sure. There were a couple of interesting things she mentioned that I would like to pursue. You know her well, right? I've known Kate for years. She is not someone who is a victim. So, if she admits to being scared, and that something was outside of the cabin, a few nights ago, then, I for one believe her. And so should you. Sitting up in her chair, she leaned forward. Where did you come up with this Kipper guy?
You trust him?
Can we trust him? Marty pursed his lips for a moment. He was about to speak but appeared to have changed his mind on what he was going to say. You don't need to worry about trusting him. I intend on keeping him on a short leash with whatever comes of this. What he did not say was that Kipper was a good investigator. However, he was also a media whore. Someone akin to needing to be in the spotlight. Marty knew how to handle him. But it was going to be a distraction, that he did not need. Marty got out of his chair and asked Wendy if she would show him the track by the side of the cabin. When she did so, they both bent to inspect the area. Not very distinctive. It was like something stepped into it.
He muttered.
Wendy nodded her head in agreement. Not giving away that it was her that scuffed the indentation so as to not alarm Kate. She enjoyed her time at the orchard with Kate and was determined not to let anything interfere with that. But she had not counted on Serafina and Lucas taking a direct hand in things. She should have left the track alone. That was an error in judgment, which she had sidestepped with her grandmother. Kipper appeared at the corner of the cabin and joined the pair. "Why is there always just one print?" he asked. As he took in the area, there was the sound of a windowsill being raised, and Kathy's head appeared above them. "You guys want to finish this interview?"
"Okay, dear listener, that about wraps it up for now. My name is Jerry Matthews. You can reach me at yellowcoyote@talus.net. Thank you for your interest, and until the next time, keep searching.